was fine.
Don't you give this shit on a telephone?
Loud and clear.
They're saying loud and clear.
Okay. Okay, I apologize for the problem. We'll try to learn Dorish about that. Okay. In the opening Mishnah that we started with, the Mishnah refers to a din of Hakhana. That when a woman...
Rabbi, you have to start. Rabbi, start again. I accidentally muted myself.
Oh. So I should start again?
Yeah.
In the opening Mishnah in Perek Yesh Bechor, the Mishnah alluded to the din, there's a din derabbanon that you have to have havchana. If a woman gets divorced from her husband or if the husband dies, so you have to wait 3 months, 92 days, before she's allowed to remarry. 90 full days, plus the day on which the husband divorced her, and plus the day on which she's remarrying, that adds up to 92 havchana, tzadik yom, tzadik beis yom. Why? Just in case she'll be pregnant from the first husband, and then she'll have a baby soon after she gets married to the second husband, so we may not know whether this child is the child of the first husband or the second husband. And that's relevant by halacha. You have to know who the father of the child is. Let's say the first husband is a kohen, the second husband is a lady or a Yisrael. Or let's say for Yerusha purposes, if he's the son of the first husband, the Yashin is the first husband, even when the first husband dies before him. And if he's the son of the second husband, Yashin is the second husband. So they made it into Rabban and Abhavchana. So the Mishnah has in different masechtas, the Mishnah has been, what if the woman remarried within the 3 months and then she has a baby 8.5 months later, and you don't know whether this baby is the child of the first husband or the second husband. So today we can tell with DNA, and you can tell with blood type, and you can tell with different things. But in the days of the Gemara, till recently, there was no way to know whether this child is from the first husband or the second husband. So that's the need for havchana. So the Mishnah has it in here. If the woman didn't wait the 3 months, she's not 65 years old. She's not going to have any children. She's a young girl, 20 years old. She got divorced from the first husband, remarries right away, and then she has a child later. You don't know whether the child, and that's the first child, that's the first child she ever had, a baby boy. You don't know whether the first husband is the father, so the first husband has an obligation to do Pinyanah Ben, or the second husband has an obligation to do Pinyanah Ben. So neither, so the, even though Pinyanah Ben is a mitzvah, and you should have said Sveika Deraisa L'chumra, you say a brocha, usually you say a brocha on a Pinyanah Ben. So maybe once you would have thought you should say Sveika Deraisa L'chumra, the both husbands should, the first husband, second husband, both give Pinyanah Ben money. So the din is not, so the din is, since it has to do with giving money from one person to the other, so the Mishnah you say, Hamotzi Machadero Olavarai. If there's any Sveika, we say the father is Muchzik and the Kohen is the Moitzi, so you don't have to give the Pinyanah Ben. But the child is a Bchor. He does need Pinyanah Ben. Just that the first husband says maybe he's not my child. The second husband says maybe he's not my child. But when the child grows up and he becomes Bar Mitzvah, the child, the Vaday, has to make a Pinyanah Ben on himself. What about Pishnayim? Let's say the first husband never had any children, and he divorces his wife, and then she remarries, and then she has a baby after, 8.5 months. And you don't know whether, is this the bechor of the first husband? So when the first husband remarries, and he has children from the second wife. So is this baby, the sotik the good baby, is this the bechor of the first husband, therefore he's entitled to Pishnayim? Or is he the bechor of the second husband? Second husband never had any children before either, and he marries this girl who's remarrying now within the 3 months. So the Mishnah says when the first husband dies and the second husband dies, the child doesn't get any Pishnayim, because the other children from the first husband, the other children from the second husband, they're considered Muchzokim on the property. And the din is, I'm right to, even though the first husband and second husband, the both husbands died, and the shaila now is, and let's say the first husband had another 5 children. We don't know whether this Sufik Dikat baby was his first child. He has six children, and this Sufik is child number 1. He's entitled to Pishnayim or not. And the second husband had another 5 children after this baby was born. Another 5 children. So you don't know whether the, so you don't know whether the other children are entitled to the Yerusha and this child not. But still, we say those who are Bada Yorshim, they're considered Mukhzokim on the money. And the Suffolk is considered Amotzi Mechaber Olav Haraya. So he doesn't get, so the Mishnah says, the opening Mishnah says that this Suffolk, whether he's a child of the first husband, the second husband, doesn't get Tishnai not when the first husband dies, not when the second husband dies. Fake the Gemara Akasha. We started this Gemara last week on Mem Zayin on base. Fake the Gemara. Right before the Mishnah on Mem Zayin on the base, around 10 lines from the before the Mishnah. The Gemara asked, the Mishnah says that the Suffolk child is not entitled to get Tishnayim neither by the first husband's Yerusha nor from the second husband. But it sounds like Yerusha he does get. He just doesn't get Tishnayim. Fake the Gemara, he shouldn't get Yerusha either. We're not sure whether he's the child of the first husband or the second husband. If he's the child of the first husband, then he's the poor. He's entitled to a double portion. If he's a child of the second husband, he's entitled to Tishnayim by the second. But if he's not a child, he's not entitled to Yerusha at all. So just like you say, he doesn't get Tishnayim, not by the first, not by the second, because Amot Mechadera, all of all right, the other 5 children are called Mechzokim, because they Badai get, they're Badai children, they Badai are going to get a Yerusha. And he's the Moitzi, the Suffolk is Amotzi Mechaber Olav Haraya. So not only should he be called Amotzi Mechaber Olav Haraya, been engaged to the Tishnayim, he should be Amotzi Mechaber Olav Haraya, been engaged to the Yerusha. Sounds from the Mishnah that he does get Yerusha. So the Gemara asked that Kasha. And for the Gemara, no, what the Mishnah meant to say is, and for the Gemara, Amar Rab Yirmiya, La Nitzchel, La Lebo, Achra, Achikamar. This Suffolk child is not entitled to any Yerusha at all by the first one. He doesn't get Yerusha at all, not only Tishnayim, but the first boy born after him from the first husband also not going to get Tishnayim. And the same thing by the second husband. The Suffolk child is not going to get any Yerusha from the second husband. But the child born after him from the second husband is Bada going to get a Yerusha, but it's a Suffolk, maybe he's not the poor. Maybe he's not entitled to Tishnayim. So neither the Suffolk gets Tishnayim by the first husband or the second husband, nor the next child after him gets Tishnayim. Because the other children are Bada Yorshim, and the second child after the Suffolk is a Suffolk, whether he's a poor or a Pashut. So you say, Moshe Mazal of Araya, the one after him doesn't get a share at all. Freg, that's what the Gemara says. Freg the Gemara Ashayla. Why there's a din of Harsha that we spoke about last week. We'll have to review it again a little bit. There's a din of Harsha. Let's say I lent somebody $1,000 and he moves away to South Africa. I keep on sending him letters. He owed me $1,000 and he doesn't answer. I call him on the phone and he doesn't answer the phone. So I know someone who's traveling to South Africa. So I ask him, do me a favor, knock on the fella's door and tell him that he owes me $1,000 and I sent you as a shliach to collect the money. So when you come back to America, you're going to bring me back the money. So he goes to South Africa, he knocks on the door, and the fella says, do I owe you the money? I owe the money to Schechter. You have no right to pester me, and he slams the door in his face. But the fellow says, but I'm a shliach. Shechter sent me as a shliach. So the Gemara says that shliach, shluch shalom kemoisai, doesn't help over here. You can make a shliach to sell real estate, to buy, to sell other things, to be mekadosh and isha, to give a get. But if you send the shliach to collect money for you, so if the loiva who moved to South Africa will be willing to give you the money, tov. So if you give the money to my shliach and then the shliach loses it, so you won't be mechuyev to pay a second time. Since my shliach accepted the money, so the chayv is parua. So if the shliach loses the money, the loiva will not have to pay a second time. But the loiva, if doesn't want it, doesn't have to pay the money to the shliach. He can say, go fly a kite, labadron the diat, I don't owe you the money, mind your own business. So the Gemara says, how am I going to get the $1,000 back? He moved to South Africa, I don't see him, how am I going to get the money back? Mara says you have to be Meka Harshua. That's a Baba Kama Dafayan Amadalf. The 10-line Gemara, the whole Gemara. So what is Harshua all about? Makna the Chayiv to the Shliach. He's not a plain Shliach. He's collecting the Chayiv because I gave it over to him. Just like I can sell Karka to someone else, I can send the Talpalin, so I can sell the Chayiv. If somebody owes me $1,000, I transfer the ownership of the Chayiv to this Murshe, to the Shliach, and then he comes, he knocks on the door, and he says, you owe me $1,000, because Shechter gave me over the right to collect and to keep the money. Good. So then he can say, La Badram de Diat. The Shliach wants to collect and keep the money for himself. So he has the right to be Tadeh, has the Chus Negisa. He has the right to ask for the money, because he's going to keep the money. Shechter Gemara, really? He's going to keep the money? So I'm not going to get, what do I do if he's a wise guy? He's going to keep the money. He won't want to give it back to me. He won't give me back the $1,000. So the Gemara says, no. Self-consult, he's only a shliach. So he has no right to keep the money. So which is it? Is it a bailaman lechayiv? And that's what enables him to best of the loiva? And the loiva can say, go fly kite labot vam didiyah? No, because he owns the chayiv. But if he owns the chayiv, then he should have the right to keep the money. Or do you say, no, he's only a shliach. He's only a shliach. He has no right to keep the money. How does he have the right to test the life to say, pay me the money? So the Ramban there, on the bottom of the reef, they have the Ramban in the Mohammed. The Mohammed was written, the Bal HaMo'or, Rabbi Nizrachi Avevi, lived in Lunel. That's why he called this sefer the Mor HaKotten. The Mor HaKotten is the moon. Mor HaKotten is the sun. Mor HaKotten is the moon. They lived in Lunel. Lunel is French for the moon. They called the sefer the Mor HaKotni. He has Hasogas on the Rif. He disagrees with the Rif here and there. And he wrote this whole, he was young, he was a teenager, he wasn't even 20 years old. I think he writes he was only 19. And he wrote all the Hasogas on the Rif. So the Ramban wrote Mohammed Hashem to defend the Rif from the Hasogas. So the Ramban there, on Baba Kama Dafayan, quotes a big chunk from the Kuntra Sahar Shor, which is written by the Ravid, which we have printed in the Sefer Tmim Beim. Tmim Beim is a thin little sefer that contains many tshuvas by the Ravid, the regular Ravid, the one who wrote the Hasogas on the Rambam, and the one who wrote the Bali HaNefesh and so on. So the Ravid in his Kuntra Sahar Shor writes that when you authorize someone else to collect the debt from the loiva, vis-a-vis the loiva, the murshe is considered the bailam on the debt. But vis-a-vis the malva, the murshe is considered the shliach. So this works, but not Torah. What kind of an androgynous is this? What do you mean? There is such a thing as kinya lachatzoin. Let's say, Iona debit k'naini. So, if a shor hamuad kills an Eved K'naini, so the Baal HaShor has to pay Shloshim Shalevet. So Gemara has a discussion, is this legitimate? Can I sell you the Eved K'naini for only one purpose? Akinya Lachatzon, you own the Eved K'naini. If and when a shor hamuad will kill the Eved K'naini, you will be considered the Baal HaShor. You will have the right to collect the Shloshim Shalevet, the 30 Shkolim. I'm the real owner of the Eved K'naini. I own the Eved K'naini. He works for me 6 days a week, and he rests on Shabbos. Eved K'naini is chayv mitzvah geisha. I'm the owner. I sold the Eved K'naini only for one purpose. Amoch Abdu L'Knas. I sold you the Eved K'naini. Akinya L'Hatzon. Or let's say, I want to sell you the pears that are going to grow on my tree, and Shnas Tavshin Pei Dalet. So that's a Dovah Shalom Bali Olam. So we paskin, you cannot make a kinyan that's binding on the Dovah Shalom Bali Olam. But the Gemara says, what if I transfer ownership of the tree? I knocked on the whole tree to you, so the tree belongs to you, so all the pears that will grow will belong to you. What if I sell you, I give you a matana, I give you dekel, lipe roisav, I give you ownership of the tree, lachatzoin. You own the tree with respect to that the pears that will grow in Tavshin Pei Dalet, you will have the right to say Aroy Ashbach. For all other intents and purposes, she belongs to me. She only belongs to you with respect to Aroy Ashbach. Ara is karka. Akarka Shali Hishbiach. The tree belongs to you with respect to your right to say Aroy Ashbach, the pears that grow, Shnas Tavshin Pei Dalet, will belong to you. So Gemara chisarin of being maknad of shlabon yonim. I can't make a kinyan that'll be valid, that'll be binding, to sell you the terrace that are going to grow tapshin pei dalet. That's a real dovish labayon. I give you ownership of the tree, which is a bolayon. I give you ownership lachatzayim. You only own the tree with respect to the schus of aroy ashbach, akarka shavi hishbiach. The terrace that are grow tapshin pei dalet will belong to you because you own the tree. So that's a kinyan lachatzayim. Or the Gemara has in the beginning of Hamafkid. I give a shore to a shaymer to watch for me, and I make a deal with him. I say, make a kinyan on the shore. In the event that the shore will be stolen, and the police will catch the ganef, and the ganef will have to pay kefel, the behemah should belong to you. I mark the behemah lekfeloi. The behemah belongs to me. It doesn't. I'm not. You're a shaymer on my behalf. That's a shaymer stuff. I'm going to pay you. But I make a deal with you that the behemah should belong to you with respect to the right to collect kefal, if and when a ganef will steal the shore, when it's been based on shalash shaymer, and the police will catch the ganef, so the shaymer should be the bailim on the shore with respect to the right to collect kefal. So there is such a concept as kinyan lachatzon. It's a question whether it works for Atar, maybe kinyan lachatzon only works for the Rabbanon, but there is such a thing. So that's what the Ravid writes over here. That's what Harshah is all about. Makne Bechov, the fellow who ran away to South Africa, who owes me the $1,000. So I'm Makne Bechov to the Murshid, the one who's traveling there now for a week, is going to come back. So the Chov belongs to him vis-a-vis the Loiva. So the Loiva shouldn't be able to say, La Baldwam the Diyad, go fly, Kai, don't bother me. He has to be Nizkap to him. So when the Murshid comes to the Loiva in South Africa and says, give me the $1,000, I own the Chov. Shech to transfer the Chov to me. He can't say, La Baldwam the Diyad, vis-a-vis the Loiva. The Murshid owns the Chov. But then vis-a-vis the Malva, he can't pocket, he can't keep the $1,000 after he gets it from the Loiva. He has to give it back to me. Because vis-a-vis the Malva, he's only considered a shliach. So the Ravid writes, the Ramban quotes this from the Ravid. This whole shtick, that vis-a-vis the Loiva, he's a bailam on the Chov. Vis-a-vis the Malva, he's only a shliach, and he has no right to pocket it. This is only, it's a stira, how can it be? There is such a thing as kinyan lachatzon, but not, this is mamish a contradiction in Ayubay. So the Ravid says that this is only a takana de Rabban. That's not a din min hatorah. But there is such a din of Harshah. So the Gemara says over here, Akasha, why do you say that, what's again the case in the Mishnah? A woman was divorced from the first husband, and she's supposed to wait, Tzadik Beis Yom, supposed to wait till the 92nd day, till she remarried. She didn't father the din. And she remarried right away, and she has a baby after 8.5 months. And the doctors can't tell whether this baby today, they can't tell. But in the days of the Gemara, a lot of times they were not able to tell whether this child is a child of the first husband or a child of the second husband. So if he's a child of the first husband, and then the husband has more children afterwards, the husband remarries, so this child, this Suffolk child, will be entitled to Pishnayim by the first husband. If it's child of the second husband didn't have any children until after this one was born, so then he'll be entitled to a Pishnayim by the second husband. But since we don't know, so he doesn't get, not only does he not get Pishnayim by either father, doesn't get Yerusha either, because we're not so sure he's a Moitzi. We're not so sure that he's a child of the, we don't know if he's a child of the first husband or second husband. So each one says, I'm Moitzi Machwelerai, he gets nothing. So then the Gemara said, the Mishnah is telling me that the next child who is born also doesn't get Tishnayim. Because the other children who will be born after the next child will say, maybe you are not the Pchor. Maybe the Suffolk was the Pchor. When the Suffolk comes, they'll say, maybe you're not a child from my father at all. Each one will say, I'm Oitza Marei Olav Haraya. If the Suffolk child comes to them, they'll say, we're not so convinced that you're a child from my father. Maybe from the other husband. And the child born after him comes and he says, if he's not a child, we're not giving him any Yerusha, so I'm the Pchor, so I should be entitled to Pishnayim. So then they say, no, maybe the other guy is the Pchor, and you're only a Pashut, so you're only entitled to one share. You're not entitled to a double share. So Gemara perfect akasha, why can't one of them appoint the other one as a Murshah? So one, the Sufik child with the next child from the first husband, next child from the second husband, when the first husband dies or the second husband dies, let the Sufik child join with the next boy who was born, and either the Sufik will make the second one the Murshah, or the second one will make the Sufik the Murshah, one or the other. So the, one of the two of them will represent both of them, and make a harshah, and they'll say, either I'm the Bchor, or the other guy, the Sufik, is the Bchor. So you have to give me Pishnayim Nimanav Shach, either for myself, or for the other one who's our brother. So why does the Mishnah, the Gemara interpret the Mishnah that the next one doesn't get Pishnayim either? Not only the Sufik doesn't only not get Pishnayim, doesn't get Yerusha at all by either of the husbands. But the next child also not going to get Pishnayim. For Gemara, why not? Why can't they write a Harsha? So the Gemara says, maybe the Mishnah is talking in principle, you say the Mishnah is talking to dinners that neither get. If they write Harsha, then the Gemara Shachi will get. The Gemara says, no, you can't say the Mishnah is ignoring Harsha. Because there's a Mishnah later that the Gemara is going to interpret. It only makes sense with a Harsha. So why does our Mishnah ignore that? The Mishnah says, the child born after the Sufik is not going to get Pishnayim either. Why not? The Sufik with the next child born to either husband should go together with Shutfis, and one will make the other a Murshah, and then he'll say, I'm coming to get Pishnayim either for myself or for the other fellow. So why does the Mishnah ignore that? Why does the Mishnah ignore that? And for the Gemara, the answer must be, Misaile Rabbi Yanai. The Mishnah seems to support what Rabbi Yanai said in Chiddush. What did he say? Sometimes in the hospitals, it still happens once in a while today, sometimes in the hospitals they mix up the babies. Two women, many women had babies. So they mix up the baby, they give the wrong baby to the wrong parents. So so Rabbi Yanai has a din. If two couples are both expecting a baby, and the two mothers are in the hospital at the same time, and each mother had a baby, and now we're not sure whether we gave the, say if one is a black skin and one is white skin, so the, if the baby that's a Schweizer goes to this family, maybe that's a Weisser goes to the other family. If you can tell by the blood type, if you can tell by the DNA, fine, so there's always child. But in the days of the Tannaim, let's say there's no way to tell, they don't know which baby belongs to which family. So he says, Rabbi Yanai says, does he have the right to make a harshoah with another brother and to say, Mimonoshach, I want to get Tishnayim, either for myself or for the other brother? So Rabbi Yanai says it depends. If originally we knew which baby belonged to which couple, and later on we got confused, or later on we mixed them up, so then they're able to write a harshoah. But if on the very outside, if it was Hukru, we're the Besof Nisarva. Hukru means we recognize who's the Bchorah, who's the baby of this couple, who's the baby of that couple. So if it was Hukru, then afterwards Nisarva, now we don't know which baby belongs to which couple. So since there was at least 5 minutes, at which time we knew which baby belonged to whom, and at that time, that baby would have the right to get Tishnayim, have Schusma. The baby's only 5 hours old. But theoretically, the baby would have Schus to collect money by Yerusha. So even though later on, it's Nisarvu, 10 minutes later, we mix them up. Now we don't remember who's who. But then they have the right to make a Harsha. But if it was never Hukru in the first place, it was Nisarvu. If Lo Hukru in the self Nisarvu. Not that originally when the baby was born we knew who was the core to this, we knew this child belongs to this family, that child belongs to that family. But if we never knew in the first place, they were mixed up in the very outset, we never knew who was who, then you have the right to make a harsha. So this is a strange thing. Mara said the Mishnah seems to be something like Rabbi Yanai, that this kind of a case where it was Nisargo Milachatril, it was never Hukru in the first place. There are cases we have no right to make a harsha. The Mishnah later in the Perek is going to be assuming, it's going to be talking about a case where they made a harsha. make Arusha. So what kind of a din is that? Why do you have no right to make Arusha? So this is a strange din. So if you, this Gemara is a Bianai's din, it says on the margin it appears in Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Chav Zayin Amid Aleph. That's the original statement of Rabbi Bianai. He said it in Yeshna Klin. But again, to these kind of cases, the Bchor. So the Rashbam over there, and I think the Sheet Mukabetz is also, they learn that this is a real din deraisa, based on a drosha from the Pasuk, that the Bchor only is only entitled to Pishnayim as a Bchor ben Asnua Yakir. The verb used in the Chumash is, the Pasuk has a din in Parshas Kiseitze. Kisiyana Lishtei Nashim, a man has two wives, so Achas Ahuvah v'Achas Nua. The older Lobonim Ahuvah v'Achas Nua, v'Haya ben Abchor Lasniya. So the Torah has a case, a man is married to two wives. One of them he loves very much, and the other one he can't stand. He doesn't like her. And each one has a baby. V'Haya ben Abchor Lasniya. The one that he hates, he doesn't, the one, the wife that he doesn't get along with, that's the one who has the Bchor. So the Torah has to tell us, a Chiddush, that when the father dies and the children are going to divide the Yerusha, he has no right to cheat the Bchor from the Pishnayim, even though the Bchor was born from the wife that he never liked in the first place. So the Gemara has a comment on the Pasuk, just because he doesn't like that wife, so why would I have a half a minute to think that the Bchor who is born to this Nua shouldn't be entitled to Pishnayim? What has it got to do with whether the husband loved the wife or he didn't love the wife? So Gemara explains, no, not Ahuva and Snua, this life, this wife he likes very much, the other one he doesn't get along, has no shalom bais. No, the Gemara says, Ahuva ben Yisrael and Snua ben Yisrael. Let's say he's a Kayin and he has two wives. One is a Grusha and one is Muteris. So the Snua means Snua lefnei hamakom in Yisrael. One of them he married the Yisrael. The Kohen wasn't allowed to marry a Grusha. Or Yisrael marries a Mamzeris. One wife is Ahuva lefnei hamakom in Yisrael. One marriage is permissible. It's an acceptable marriage. The other one is Snua ben Yisrael lefnei hamakom. The Torah says he's not allowed to marry that wife. So it's not that there's a half a minute to think that because he doesn't have shalom bais with the mother, therefore the child shouldn't be entitled to Pishnayim. What's the half a minute? I don't need a pasuk to tell me that. I need a pasuk to tell me even though he married the woman Bavera, he has no right to marry that woman. She's no ben Yisrael, but Me'amokim. The child is still a pror and he's still entitled to Pishnayim. That's what the parasha means. So the pasuk says, as a pror ben Asnua Yakir, Losses of Pishnayim. So the Chumash uses the verb Yakir. The father has to see to it that the Bchor gets the Pishnayim. Let's say the father dies at the age of 98, and the children are in their 60s and their 70s, and they all look old. They all look about the same age. And now nobody remembers who's older than whom. They're all on in years. So the father has to tell the people when he's about to die, as a Bchor ben Asnua Yakir is a mitzvah, that he should say, this is the Bchor, he's entitled to the Pishnayim, to make sure that the other children don't cheat the Bchor out of the Pishnayim. So the Chumash uses that verb, Yakir. So that's the same verb that Rabbi Yana says, Hukru, with the self Nisarvu. If we recognized who the Bchor was, we knew who the Bchor was when he was born. It's a special din in Bchor. It's not a din in Hilchas HaShoah. It's not a din, Rabbi Yana says, here you have a right to make HaShoah, here you have no right to make HaShoah. No, it's a din in Hilchas Bchor, the way the Rashban learns, the way the Shittim Kubetzis learns. The Tanoim Darshan from the Pasuk is a Bchor ben Asnua Yakir, v'hoi ha-ben Bchor lasnia, only Bchor Vadai v'lo Bchor Sofik. If it wasn't clear right away when the Bchor was born, let's say the first child was born and the aver, that the reproductive organ was covered over, the baby is a tumtum. So you don't know whether it's a zoch and a kegel. So these kind of babies, they do surgery and they cut off the membrane and they figure out whether it's a zoch and a kegel. So the Gemara says, if the first child was a boy but he was a tumtum, there was a membrane of skin covering over, and you can't tell whether it's zoch and a kegel. Now to do surgery, tumtum shenikra, v'nimtza zoch, they had to rip open the skin, and had to do surgery, and they realize that he's a zoch, so he's a pur. Mar says, make a harshua. No, he's not saying a detailed din harshua. He's saying a din in pror. The pror who wasn't recognized when he came out of the mother's womb, when bishas leida, it wasn't clear that he's a zocher, that he's a pror, he's titled bishnayim. Even though it becomes clear and obvious later, that's a din vaday. Since it was a suffix originally, it's not a title of bishnayim. That's a big chiddush. That this is a din deraisa. Rabbi Yana's din is a din deraisa. Others, I saw on the sefer Einayim LaMishpat, Amar Basra, he quotes from Choshen Mishpat. Some of the Nezikim Choshen Mishpat, from Nachrenim, they don't learn that it's a din deraisa. They say the whole institution of Harshoah, according to that Ramban, Bisheng deraisit, the Ramban and Mohammed and Baba Kama Dafayim, he said the whole institution of Harshoah is an androgynous. What's going on? Vis-a-vis the Loive, the Mursha is considered the Balaam on the Chayiv. And vis-a-vis the Malve, the Mursha is considered the Shliach. So he cannot pocket the money. So what kind of business is that? It's a double talk. With respect to the Loive, he's a Balaam on the Chayiv. That's why the Loive can't say, go fly a kite, la ba'dorm de diyad. But he can't pocket the money. He has to hand it back to the Malve, because he's only a shliach. So the rabbi writes that it's only a takana de rabbanon to enable people to collect the debts. So that's what he quotes. Some of the meforshim achoshim mishpah write, since the whole institution of harshoah is clearly only a takana de rabbanon, it's a question whether that's true. That's what the Ramban quotes when they write it in the kuntres harshoah and it's been vain. That's what he said. So they only made such a takana de rabbanon in a case where at least in the very beginning it was clear that the person had a right to collect the debt. But if it wasn't clear, it was a case on Motzei Mechavel Ra'ah from day number one. It was never clear and obvious. He wouldn't be able to win the money. He'll only be entitled to win the money if it makes a harshoah, and he'll be able to collect the pishnayim with a mimanav shach, with the next brother. But he never really had the right to collect on his own. So then you have the right to make a harshoah. They only made the takana, the rabbanon of harshoah, in a situation where at least there was 5 minutes or 5 hours, at which time it was vaday that this person had a right to collect the debt. Then you can make a harshoah. But if from the very outset the whole chiyuv was doubtful, everything was besotik, and on his own the fellow wouldn't be able to collect the money, so then even if he's going to make a harshoah and he'll have the right to collect the money, they never made a takana of harshoah in such a case. Okay. The Rashbam and Baba Basa learned that it's a din deraisa, and others in Chashmish would say they don't think so. Think it's only a din derabbanan. Okay. We'll start the next Mishnah. Next Mishnah, Mem Zayin Amid Beis. So the opening Mishnah said that there's a din of Pchor. The Pchor is entitled to get a double portion from the Yerusha. Pchor is entitled Pishnai. And then there's another din that a Pchor you have to get Pigiraben. And the Mishnah said that the dinim don't always go hand in hand. Sometimes a child, let's say, the couple had the first child, and the first child died. It was an ephel. He died. Stillborn. Then the next child is a bar kayama, but the next child is not a peterechem. The first one was the nephel, was the peterechem. So the Mishnah says in such a case, the second child, habwa achan efolim, the first baby boy born, if the first child born after an ephel, after a stillborn child, is a boy, then he's entitled to Tishnai. But he doesn't need a Tidyan Bet, because he's not a Teterechem. And then the Mishnah had, and then you have the reverse also. Sometimes you have Tishnaim. Sometimes you have Tidyan Ben, and you don't have Tishnaim. Let's say a man has children from the first wife, and then the first wife dies, and then he remarries. So he remarries a girl who never had any children before. So if the first child, the second wife has, if the first child that's born is a boy, the man has to make a tidyan ben, even though his child number 10 by him. He already has 9 children from the first wife. But if this is the first peterechem child from the second wife, so you have to get tidyan ben. But that child who needs the tidyan ben, he's not going to get tishnayim because he has 9 children older than him. Tishnayim depends on who is the b'chor to the father. And tidyan ben depends on who is the peterechem to the mother. So this Mishnah is going to continue to speak about the the water. There was no Tzimis HaTlat. Mole Dam, full of Dam. Mole Gininim, different colors. So there was no Tzimis HaTlat. There was no Nafel there. It was some other thing. Or Hamapelis, the woman had something growing in her womb, and turns out, Kenin Dogim, it comes out and looks like fish. Chagogim looks like red fish. Kotzim, her muffin looks like bugs or something. So that for sure. So the next vlad is considered a pchor, not only for Pishnaim, the next baby, if it'll be a boy, is considered a pchor for the purpose of Pidyon HaBen as well. Why does the Mishnah say the woman had an eifel, given dogim, chagogim, shkotzim, her muffin? So Rashi refers you to a Mishnah earlier in the Masechta. And it's in Nida, and Afchad Beis. He doesn't tell you what Masechta. He says, Perek HaMapelos Chaticha, that the Masechta is Nida, and Afchad Beis and Beis. So the Mishnah has a Machlek and Zatnei and Achachamim there. This Stam Mishnah is usually Reb Meir. So this Mishnah goes like Reb Meir. We don't pass like Reb Meir. The Mishnah here implies the woman had a miscarriage that came out in the shape, not in a human figure, came out in the shape, it looks like a fish, or like a grasshopper, or like bugs, or something like that. So then, if the next pregnancy will be a Tzuras Adam, a boy, then there will be a Pidyon HaBen. But what if she gave birth to a Vlad that came out in the shape of a Behema? Behema Chai V'Yof. So that's a machlokes, it's a ben hachachamim, and maseches nida. Perek hamapelos chaticha, and dav chabeis and veis. So it's not Mishnah Rav Meir, our Mishnah goes like Rav Meir. The only time the next vlad, habo achrov, will be a prayer for Pidyon HaBen purposes, is if the first one was kinin dogim chagovim shkotzim ramosim. But if the first one kinin behem b'chai v'yayif, then the second one will not have a Pidyon HaBen. The first one does not Pidyon HaBen either. And the second one will not have Pidyon HaBen. And we don't pass like that. We pass even if the first one was a tzuris behem b'chai v'yayif, it's the same as kotzim ramosim, that the next one will be a pchor not only for pishlein purposes. If the next child born will be a boy, there'll be a pidyon HaBen on that also. Why does Reb Meir distinguish? The Mishnah goes like a mess. It only mentions if the first vlad that she had was a mapelas kinin dogim chagov mishkotzim ramosim. It doesn't mention she was mapelas kinin behem b'chai v'yof. Why? So Reb Meir distinguishes, does Rashi write? Yeah, Rashi writes a second, and the Rashi have narrow lines, and then they become a little wider, before the very wide line on the bottom. So on that line, where it says, Perkamapelos Chaticha Dabcha Beis on Beis, the second medium-sized line in Rashi, so he quotes the Loshan Loshan Nemer Behem Yitzira Kilagabi Adam. He looked back in Parshas Bereishis. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates Adam Rishon, it says, Vayitza Hashem al Kimasa Adam Ofam Er Adam. It says, Vayitza. When it describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu creating Behem Chai V'Yayif, it also says, Loshen Yitzira. So Reb Meir is of the opinion that since the same verb is used in Parshas Bereishis, Vayitza, by Behem Chai V'Yayif, as by Adam, so if the first vlad will be Tzuras Behema, and the next vlad will be a Tzuras Adam, so the second vlad will not have Pidyon HaBen, because it's not the first. The first one was called the vlad. And we don't accept that. It's an interesting diuk in Parshas Bereishis. We don't accept that. So we pass on halacha like the Chachamim and the Mishnah there who disagree with Reb Meir. Stam Mishnah Reb Meir, Stam Mishnah goes like Reb Meir. So it only says, if the first vlad was kinin dogim chagov mishkotzim ramosim, then the next one will have Pidyon HaBen if it's a boy. But if the first vlad was tzuras behem b'chai v'yayif, then the second one is not the pchor. The first one was the pchor, but it was mapelus, it was dead, so there's no Pidyon HaBen. And we don't pass like that. We pass can even by behem b'chai v'yayif also. It doesn't have tzuras adam, so the next one will need Pidyon HaBen. Okay. That's where Rashi points that. Or the Mishnah has a mapelus liyam aboim. Let's say the woman had first a miscarriage, and it wasn't full term. A full term pregnancy is normally 9 months. Somehow in the days of the Gemara, they thought that there are two types of pregnancy. There's a 7-month pregnancy and a 9-month pregnancy. And if a premature 9-month pregnancy, then it's called an aphel. Then it's considered an aphel. But if it's a post-mature, maybe it's a 7-month pregnancy, a post-mature pregnancy, so then it's more than 7 months old, 7.5 months, 7, 8 months old. So that's what the Gemara says. You have to see if it's a fully a full-term baby, it's going to have fingernails growing, it's going to have a little hair on it. So in the days of the Gemara, somehow they assume that there are two types of pregnancy, a 7-month pregnancy, 9-month pregnancy. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Ritva. In the days of the Ritva, he says, the doctors of his generation said they never heard of this. There's no such thing as a 7-month pregnancy. There's a 9-month pregnancy. So the Gemara says, what's considered full-term pregnancy? So that's a machlokes in the Gemara. Hayoledes letisha. If it's a 9-month pregnancy as opposed to a 7-month. If it's a 9, by us, everything we assume, everything is 9 months. We don't have any 7-month pregnancy. And your letters letisha, is that considered normal? Your letters lebukutoin, what if part of the 9th month is missing? She entered into the beginning of the 9th month, but she didn't have a full 9 months. So that's in the days of the Gemara, that was a machlokes. Is that considered full term as long as he entered into the 9th month? Or he said, no, your letters letisha, any oledes lemekutoin is considered a premature baby and is considered an aphel. So that's a machlokes in the days of the Gemara. And even though many Rishonim assumed that the maskana of the Gemara should be oledes letisha, any oledes lemekutoin, that's not normal, that's not considered full term, that would be an aphel, a baby born into the beginning of the 9th month is not going to survive. But in the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes the Tashbeitz, who was from the late Rishonim, early Akronim, the Tashbeitz, and he says that today it's assumed that that's normal, that's considered full term. Everything, whatever it was, maybe medicine changed, maybe the Tanaim never understood what it was, however it is, we assume that there's only a pregnancy, 9-month pregnancy, no 7-month pregnancy, and a 9-month pregnancy is considered normal, even if it's limakutain, even if you just entered into the beginning of the 9th month, and you didn't finish 9 times 30 days full. So that's what we assume, lalo. That's what we assume. So the Mishnah has over here, if the first vlad was less than 40 days, then there was no tzuras of vlad. We would assume a little more than 40 days, also not enough. It has been a little more than 43 days that it should have a tzuras havlad. So if the first vlad was a pregnancy, it was so incomplete, it wasn't even 40 days, it was only 41 days, 42 days, something like that, and it will not have a tzuras havlad, then it doesn't count, and it doesn't count as the first vlad. And the next baby that's born normally will need a tigyan ben also. Not only will the next baby have the right to get tishnayim, the vlad habor lach and nefolim gets tishnayim, but a vlad habor lach and nefolim doesn't have to get ben because it's not paterech. But if the first one didn't even have a tzuris of vlad, it wasn't even a pregnancy of 43, 44 days, then the next one is the pkor for tinyan ben. Next one is called the paterech. What's the din of a yotzei daifen? Yotzei daifen usually used to mean that instead of the vlad coming out the normal way, that instead of the rechem pushing out the vlad, they cut open Broken. front and take the baby out. Another one is when the doctor makes an incision, the baby's not coming out, that's a difficult labor, the baby's not coming out well. So the doctor makes a little incision on the right and on the left, and then he sticks his fingers in, and he takes out the baby. So it comes out, the rechen didn't push out the baby. The doctor took out the baby with his hands. That's not so infrequent. So then that vlad has a din of the yetzer days, and even though he came out derech harechem, but the rechem didn't push out the baby. So that's what the recent paskim say. Who are dinami? Now sometimes they use like a vacuum to pull out if they know that the fetus is dead. So sometimes they'll remove it by pulling out with a vacuum. So the rechem didn't push it out. That has a din of a yetzer dofen, but it's a yetzer dofen nefel. The reason why they vacuumed it out, because they know it's not alive. So that would be a case where the first vlad was a yetzer dofen nefel, and according to our Pesel Frank, that's not a pchor d'avrecha, that's a full-fledged pchor. So the next one that would be born would require it, pinyan ben, with a bracha. So that's one machlekes of Shin and the Rabbanan, whether the sheni, the first baby was a yetzer dofen, the second baby is born normally. Whether the second one needs pinyan ben, that's a machlek. Rav Shimon holds pchor d'avrechad havi pchor, and we don't accept his opinion. But there's another machlek here between Rav Shimon and the Chachamim, whether the yetzer dofen is entitled to tishnayim. Rav Shimon says harishon lenachla. The first baby was a yetzer dofen, the second one was born naturally. The first, both boys. The first one's a boy, but it was yetzer dofen, and he's alive. He's not a nefel. He was alive. So Rav Shimon says harishon lenachla. The first baby, even though it's yetzer dofen, is entitled to tishnayim, and we don't paskin like that. We don't accept either the chidushim of Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon holds the second one needs pinyan ben. Second one was born naturally after the first one was a cesarean. Rav Shimon holds b'chol d'arach and habi b'chor. The second one needs pinyan ben. We don't pass like that. And then there's also machlokes Rav Shimon Rabbanan, a baby boy born first, but it was a cesarean delivery. Is he entitled to tishnayim? So what's the shaila? Because in Parshas Kiseitze, when the Chumash has that Parsha Kiseitze, and Eliyish, they nashim, hachas, haruwa, bachla, v'yolzo lo bonim, haruwa, v'hasnuwa. So what does it mean? Roi abein ha-pchor lasniya. So the pchor is entitled to tishnayim, but it says v'yolzo lo, has to be, he's only entitled to tishnayim if it was a leidah. So we paskin, that is only called the Oldu if the Rechem pushed out the baby. If it was a Yetzer Dofen, that's not, you can't apply the verb the Oldu. So that's why we hold that a Bchor, Yetzer Dofen, doesn't get Tishnayim. Rav Shimon disagrees with Shita Sai, because Rav Shimon disagrees in the Mishnah, is a Nida, Perek Yetzer Dofen. He says that if there's a cesarean delivery, the Pasuk applies, he made Tumah v'mei Tara. Yoshimah v'mei Tumah v'mei Tara. If they delivered a cesarean delivery of a baby boy or a girl, so you have the 7 you make tumah and the 33 days you make tara. If it's a baby girl cesarean, so you have 14 days you make tumah and 66 days you make tara. We don't pass like that, because we pass and it says the older love on him. The older means later, normal later. So if it's a yetzer dofen, there's no you make tumah and make tara at all. But Rav Shimon l'shitasa, just like he holds there, that the Yetzer Dofen has a dinam of Yimei Tum Yimei Tara, because it is called the Oldulo, it is called Leida, even though the Rechem didn't push it out. So the Shittasi says over here the same thing, that the Yetzer Dofen is entitled to Tishnayim as a regular Leida. That's Rav Shimon and the Shittasi. That's the Gemara on the end of the Daf. Good. That's it. What's the next Mishnah? Mem Ches Amir Aleph. Mem Ches Amid Aleph is really a chunk of Nezikin. It's from Baba Kama. You have to know a lot of dinim in Baba Kama. So let's see. We said one could have thought incorrectly, one would have argued incorrectly, that Pinyan Ben is a mitzvah, you say a bracha, and if you have a suffix, if you have to give Pinyan Ben, let's say the woman was pregnant with twins, turns out it's a boy and a girl, we're not sure which one, know, it's going to repeat it. The Mishnah is going to repeat it quite a few cases. Whenever there's a suffix and pigeon up then, you go the kula, amotze machavera olivarai. So the Mishnah gives an example. Mishnah bikra ishto, the wife never gave birth before, she is giving birth for the first time. The older shneischar, she has two baby boys. But you don't know which one was born first, which one was born second, but it doesn't make a difference. The father has to do pigeon up then, he knows that he has. Let's say the father's in Europe and the mother's in New York and she just gave birth. So the baby's not there in Europe. When it comes Yom Ahmed Aleph, the father can make the pidyon ben, even though the baby's not in front of him. The minig is, the baby is in front of you, and the kohen says, which would you prefer? Do you want to have your baby or and give me five shloim, or you want to keep your five shloim and I'll keep the baby? So the minig is that you have the baby in a basket, and the women put on the basket, they put all the jewelry, just to be mechabed the mitzvah. Because it looks like, it doesn't look like a mitzvah. You just give the kohen the five shloim, give him an amount of money. So it's what kind of, it looks like a secular act. So just to enhance it, so you have the baby and dressed up and fancy and everything. But strictly speaking, you don't need the baby. You just know he has to call up, make sure the baby's alive. If the baby dies before Yom Lamed Aleph, then there's no mitzvah to Yom Aben. So the Mishnah has a case. His wife gave birth to twin boys. You don't know which one was born first, but you don't have to know which one was born first. Doesn't matter. He has to give five shloim. What if one of the two babies dies before the Yom Lamed Aleph? So you don't know whether the one who died is the Bchor, or the one who survived is the Bchor. So if one of the two died before the Yom Lamed, then the father, then he said, Amotze Machaveira Olivarayah, the father is not obligated to give any money. Safik Mamin, Safik Mamayna Lakula. You don't say Safik Mitzvah Lechumra, Safik Derazul Lechumra, say Safik Mamayna Lakula. He doesn't have to give any pinyon of ben money. Fine. Let's see. Again, Mishala Bikri Ishto, the wife never gave birth to any children previously. The older now, Shneischar, she has twin boys, and you don't know which one was born first, which one was born second. So no, it's in the Chamis, no problem. Meisechemehem b'toch shloshim yom, one of them dies before the 30 days, you don't know which one is the Bchor. So maybe the Bchor died, maybe not. So ha'av pata, the father is not mukhiv, because ha'moitza machaver, Oliver, maybe the Bchor died. What if Mesa av, ba'abonim kayamim, none of the babies died. So if the father is alive after the 30 days and both of the babies are alive, he doesn't know which baby is the Bchor, but it doesn't matter. He knows he has a Bchor, and he's mukhiv to give pidyon ben. What if the father died, and the two children grow up, and they're going to have to do their own pidyon ben? But you don't know which one of them is the Bchor, so you can't test this one. You can't ask him, give me the five shloim, and say, maybe my brother is the Bchor. You can't test the brother, he'll say, maybe the other one is the Bchor. They themselves don't know. Nobody knows. So what's the din? Neisa'ah, v'habonim kayamim, what do you do? So the mayor says, the machlokes are mayor abudim. I think what's going to work in Nidhi Mammon as far as what's the machlokes are mayor abudim. So the mayor says, im nosnu achol echilku, if they didn't divide the estate yet. Father died a long time ago. The father died when they were 5 years old. And now they're both bar mitzvah and they're supposed to make their own pidyon ben. So if they didn't divide the assets yet, they have the Yerusha from the father, and it's on the Shutfas by both of the brothers. So one of the two has to give the Yadet. So that he says, Im Nasna, if they gave the five shloim to the Kohen, Achul Achilka, before they divided, so Nasna, okay. So the Kohen has the right to keep it, because Bevadai, the Nechasim, when the Shtabdu, the assets that the father left the Yerusha on the Shubit, the father for sure is mukhif to do a pidyon ben. The father died after the 30th day. So the father was mukhif on the Yom Lamed Aleph to do pidyon ben, didn't do it yet. So all of his nechasim are meshubin. So if they gave five shloim to the kohen before they divided up the Yerusha, so the kohen can keep it, that's fine. However, im lav, but if they didn't give the pidyon ben and they divided the Yerusha, so the two twin brothers, one of them has half the Yerusha, one of them has half. So the coin is going to go to one of the two brothers, say, you have to give me pidyon ben. He says, don't bother me. It's a suffix. Goes to the other brother. He says, also, don't bother me. I'm out to machaveh olivarayah. So he can collect. from the Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda says no. Nischaibu hanachasim. Since there was a chiyah pigyaben before they became bar mitzvah, there was a chiyah pigyaben. The father never did it. So even though they divided the nachasim, he can still collect the pigyaben from both of them. You collect five slime, not ten slime. Collect five slime. One will pay half, and one will pay half. Because the nechassim, the assets from the father, well, meshubed a long time ago, 13 years ago, when they were born, on the 31st day, the father was obligated to do pigyon haben. He didn't do it. So you have a right, Bezna has a right to take away his property in order to fulfill that mitzvah of giving pigyon haben. So what's the machlokes, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda? And what's going to work on that? What is exactly the machlokes? Then the Mishnah ends off with another thing that's obvious. Let's say the woman had twins. A woman never had any children before, and now she has, the first time she has twins, a boy and a girl. You don't know which one was born first. So if the girl was born first, then there's no pigyon haben. If the boy was born first, there is a pigyon haben. So it says, ochen ikeva, and it's a suffix. You don't know whether it is a pros or the dinis, amoytza machaveh or lavarai. Again, you don't say suffix deraisa luchumet, do pigyon haben mi suffix. No, it's considered a suffix. Here, since the mitzvah has to do with giving money, so you say, amoytza machaveh or lavarai, you don't know if to do any pigyon haben. So here, the Gemara is going to try to understand what exactly is the machlek, what are they fighting about, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda? If the two brothers divided the Yerusha, he has half and he has half. We don't know who's the Pchor. The Pchor should be entitled to a double portion. He should be entitled to two-thirds. If there are only two twin children, that's all two twin brothers. So you should, instead of dividing in two parts, you should divide into three parts. The Pchor should get two-thirds. The Pashan should get one-third, but we don't know which one is the Pchor, which one is the Pashan. So each one gets half. So it's a Machlokes, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, if the two children, the father died, and the two children divided the Yerusha 50-50. Can you collect, after they made a chalukah, can you collect from them or not? So what are they fighting about? So Gemara is going to finally, ultimately, Gemara is going to say like this. Pidyon haben, there's a Mishnah in the end, the very end of Bava Basra. I think it's the very last Mishnah in Bava Basra. The Mishnah says there's a difference between Milu Balpeh and Milu Bishtar. Let's say I come with two witnesses, and the two witnesses testify that I lent you $1,000. So if you're going to say, paraiti, I paid it, do you have the money? The Aiden don't know whether you paid it or not. I lent you the money a year ago. Maybe you paid it a long time ago. If you say, paraiti, you have the money. But if you say, lo lovisi, you're an outright liar. The two witnesses know that you borrowed the money. What happens if I owe, let's say, the loiva owes $1,000, two witnesses testify, milval there, and the loiva has no assets, he can't pay. But he used to have karka, which he sold to lekuchas. So do you have the right to collect the karka from the lekuchas? So that's in many places in the Gemara. They talk about this is called shiba nechosu. The Rabbi Tam developed this idea that shnei shibudim, and there's a shiba aguf, and the Sheba Nechasim, when the Leiva borrows money, so he's obligated to pay back the $1,000, that Sheba Aguf. And if he doesn't have the money, he has to go get a job and earn money and pay it back little by little. He has to figure out a payment schedule. He has to pay back the $1,000. That's Sheba Aguf. Sheba Nechasim means, Sheba Nechasim is only on Karka, not on the Taltalim. So Sheba Nechasim is, even if the Leiva who borrowed the money, he owes $1,000, but he has no assets, but he had karka that he sold to lekuchas, people bought it from him. So the malva has the ability, has the right to go to the lekuchas and take away the karkos. Has what they call in English a lien on his property. I think it's L-I-E-N. Has a lien on his property. That's what we call shiba nechos. He has the right to take away the karkos. So that's only, you only have a right to take away the karkos of the lekuchas if it's a milva bishtar. If it's a milva balpeh, you can only collect from the loiv himself. He can't collect from the lekuchas. Mishum says the lekuchas. The Gemara says, Menatoira, there really shouldn't be Menatoira, there's no difference between milva balpeh and milva bishtar. They should both be the same. But The Rabbanim, we made a distinction, because if you, even when a person borrows money, the Gemara has an expression, man de yozif, one borrows money, betzina yozif. He's not going to advertise to the public that he's pressed for money, because he's going to, let's say he has paintings around the house, he has furniture, he has expensive things, he's going to want to sell them because he's badly in need of money. So if the people know that he's hard pressed for money, they're not going to offer the full amount. They'll offer him less, and he's going to have to grant it. He's going to have to accept it because he's in need of money. So that's why they made a takana mishum seder de lekuchas. If it's a milbal peh, it's going to be leis lekola, because people will not know about it that he owes all this money. Because man the yosef want to borrow his money, but tzina yosef. So the lekuchas are going to lose if you're going to say a milbal peh that malba has the right to collect from the lekuchas. It's going to be a seder de lekuchas. That people are not, you're going to destroy the whole real estate industry. No one's going to want to buy any real estate because they know that it may be taken away by the malveh from the lekuchas. So in order not to ruin the real estate industry, that they made this takana derabbanan, that a mulah out there, there's no shiv nechas. There's only shiv nechas in a mulah bishtar. Why? Because mulah bishtar, the Edom who sign will be motzi akol. They'll already tell the public, even though man the Yosef, but you know Yosef, one of Bar's money wants to keep it a secret, but if he went so far that he wrote, sometimes the Malva will not agree to lend money unless the Loiva gives him a shtar. So when the Loiva authorizes the Edom to sign the shtar, so then the Edom who signed it will tell people, they'll tell the public that self-understood the Edom who signed the shtar are going to be motzi the kol. There's no Isha Lashon Hara over here. Don't say the guy is hard-pressed for money and he borrowed a fortune, he borrowed $100,000. So someone else, they want to tip everybody off that they should know. They shouldn't fall in with this person. He doesn't have, he's in need for money. So that's why if you have the mulah peh, you can't collect from the lekuchas. What about collecting from the yosinim? Let's say the father borrowed money and the father died. So the father borrowed money as a shibud aguf, he has to pay. The father died, then he never paid back the money. Now the yosinim get the karka and get everything birusha. So we're worried about seder de lekuchas. We don't want to ruin the real estate industry, so we're afraid. Man the yosef betzina yosef, people borrow money, they don't want the public to know. They're going to borrow money privately, quietly. So they may turn out seder de lekuchas. As I said, by milbal peh, there's no shiv nechas, you have no right to take away from the lekuchas. But what's the problem? Take away from the assignment. The assignment are not entitled to this money. The father borrowed money and never paid it back. So by right, they should really pay back. So that's what we paskin. Milbal peh, there was a big machlokes in the days of the Amoraim. The Mishnah never says. Mishnah just says, milbal peh, you cannot collect from the lekuchas. And milbal bishtar is islay kolah, the Edi Hasima will tell the public, they'll leak out the word to the public that the guy owes a lot of money, and the lekuchas will be able to watch out for themselves. You don't have to worry about Seder the lekuchas. But what about Seder the assignment? Why should you worry about Seder the assignment? The father borrowed money and never paid it back, so that's not right. The assignment are not entitled. What industry are you going to ruin over here? So that's what we paskin, that a milbal peh is goes ben ayoshin, bein a goes ben halakuchas. So the shaitas over here, Pidyan Aben, do we treat it like a milah b'shtar or like a milah bal peh? Pidyan Aben, there's no shtar. It's a milah bal peh. But there's a machloikis, a maroyim. Maybe I should say, milah ksuvah b'torah k'ksuvah b'shtar damya. Maybe I should say, there are two types of chiyuvim mamon, the different ways to divide. There are two types of chiyuvim mamon. Sometimes there's a hischaivus midas. I borrow $1,000 and I agree to pay back. Or I buy a house and I agree to pay $750,000, I gotta pay. That's a hischaivus midas. I accepted it upon myself, this obligation. And sometimes we have what we call a milah ksuvah b'torah, a chiyuv, let's say, chayvo mazik. I beat someone up, I burnt down his house, I let my animal cause damage. That's not a hischaivus midas. I didn't accept it on myself out of my own free will. The Torah imposes a chiyuv on me. So the same thing, Pidyan Aben, is a milah ksuvah b'torah. That's what the bottom Tosis points out over here. The bottom Tosis on Mem Ches, Amen Aleph, and the same Tosis appears in a few other Mesichtas, in Ksubas and other Mesichtas. down to the home of the Lova to grab a mashkin. The pasuk says, "B'chutz tamayin," that the baba has a right to knock on the door and ask the lady, "You owe me money," and the lady says, "Wait outside. I don't give you permission to come into." I said, "The malva has no right to come in. He has the right, even if he's in the street, he has no right to grab a mashkin on his own." It says, "B'chutz tamayin, wait outside. We shall shatan oshet bo. The lady who borrowed the money, yotze mechas havo tachutz. He will bring out a mashkin on his own. You're not about to grab a mashkin on his own." So the Chumash says that the loyva who borrowed money has to pay back the money. So halva is also milva k'siluv ha'teira. So Tesis says no. Halva, the Chumash says the loyva has to pay back. But even if the Chumash wouldn't have written like that, we would have known on our own. He borrowed money, so it's self understood. He agreed to pay back the money. That's called milva she'ein k'siluv ha'teira. Milva she'ein k'siluv means it doesn't have to. It didn't have to be written. Didn't have to be mentioned in the Chumash. We would have understood on our own that he has to pay. He accepted upon himself, like the Me'a Nekach. You buy houses, understood, you buy a pair of tefillin, you have to pay, you buy clothing, you buy food, of course, you have to pay for it. So that's a milva she'ein k'siluv ha'teira. It doesn't have to be written. That's a hischavis midas. So the Gemara has a svara. Hasvara nosen is that when the Torah imposes a chiyuv, it imposes a chiyuv to the maximum. Take, for example, one of the differences between milva k'siluv ha'teira and milva she'ein k'siluv ha'teira is meitav. That's the opening Mishnah in Bava Kama. The pasuk only says Meitav Sadei Meitav Kama Yishalein by Shever Egel. In the beginning of Bava Kama. So the Gemara says there are 24 Ovis Nezikin. Kulam Ka'ovis L'shalem Meitav. Even though the original pasuk of Meitav only says by Shever Egel, so the Gemara says the din of Meitav applies. There's a gigantic Zereshove Tachas Nesine Yishalem Kesef. Anywhere, any one of these four expressions appears tachas and sin ishal and kesef, it means that you have to pay meitav. But by halvora, even though it's a gigantic zereshav, it includes everything, all the choftal of rabbis and zikin, but halvora is not included. Halvora is a hischai, the minchas chino says, why not? You can't find the pasuk by halvora that should include it in the zereshav. He says, no, the tanoim, the gemara felt that it doesn't, it's not the same. When the Torah imposes a chiyuv, it's a milva k'siluv ha'teira, then the Torah imposes to the maximum you have to pay meitav. But if you accept the hischaivus on your own, then it's not so chomer. So you're not pleased to pay meitav. So the loiva, meikar adin, the loiva can pay back zipuris, and it's only midir under three qualities of karka. There's idis, beinanis, and zipuris. And meitav is idis, that quality A, and beinanis is B, and zipuris is the weakest quality. If he pays, let's say I owe you $100,000. If I'm going to give Ziburis, there has to be many more acres of farmland in order to add up to the $100,000. If I'm going to give you Meitav, it can be a much smaller field. It has to add up to $100,000. But still, if it's a milva k'siluv ha'teira, then you have this gigantic Zereshove, Tachas Nesine, Shalom Kesef, that all the Ovis Nezikin, you have a right to collect from Meitav. But if it's a Chayvus Midas, Dmei HaMekach, I bought a building, or a halvoa, I borrowed money and I agreed to pay back, so Meikar Adin Derayse, he can pay back with Ziburis, and it's only with the Rabbanan that they said about Chodesh Din of the Beinanis. There are other differences also. Other differences also. So here, the Gemara has a machlekes, should I say, Milvaksel Batara? If it's a chiv moment that the Torah imposes, maybe the Torah imposes with the Shiva Nechasim, even though you didn't give a shtar. If it's a halva, so then if it's a milva bishtar, then the sheep and the chosim that enables you to collect from the lekuchas. But if it's a milva alpeh, so then you can't collect from the lekuchas. You can only collect from the yisad, you can't collect from the lekuchas. But if it's a milva k'siluv ha'teira, maybe then it's mochomer. So the Torah says you have the full, you have the chiyuv to the maximum. You have a right to collect from the lekuchas even though there is no shtar. So the Gemara says, we really don't hold like that. We pass in the there's machlokes. We pass in the Vaksmata, a lot kicks the Bishtar Damya. So then the Gemara is going to, we're going to have to work out some more details over here. The Gemara is going to explain what is the Nekudas of machlokes between Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda. What do they agree upon? What do they disagree upon? What are they fighting about? After the father died and the children divided the Yeru, Matzil Batera. And we assume Lavkik Sudishtar Damya, so you have no right to collect from the Kuchas, you have a right to collect from Yorshin. But the Shaila is, if a person dies and he leaves assets, and he has more than one child, so the children have to divide the Yerusha, so that's a Machlekes Satanoim, they say Yesh Breira or Ein Breira. When you divide up, let's say the father has 100 hotels in the United States, and the two children, and each one gets 50 hotels, each one gets half. Maybe some hotels are fancier than the others. So one is going to get 25 hotels, one is going to get 75 hotels. 75 weaker quality hotels are the equivalent in value to the 25 five-star fancy super-duper hotels. So you divide it up equally. So the Gemara has a discussion. When Yerushim divide up, do you say Yesh Brei or Ein Brei? Do you say the Din of Yerusha sets in when the father dies? The estate goes, that's called Tfusas Habayis. Everything is owned by all the children together. And then after they do a Chalukah also, the Din Yerusha is that I get this and you get that. Or do you say no? That the Yerushim is considered, when they divide up, the Yerusha is considered as if they're Lekuchas. Because it's an Ein Breira. At the time the father died, we didn't ascertain yet who's going to get 75 hotels, who's going to get 25. We didn't even figure anything out. We didn't make any Chesbonos. How can you say that at the moment of the father's death, the Din of Yerusha said in that I'm going to get 25 hotels, you're going to get 75. We didn't decide it till later. So that's a Machlokes where they say, Ha'achim Shechalku, Ha'yorshim, Okilukuchasim. Is it considered I'm maknet to you the share that I had and the 75 hotels, the weaker quality, in exchange for your share in the 25 hotels that you're maknet to me? So then, Achm Shechalka should be considered Lekuchas, and you shouldn't be able to collect from the Lekuchas for the Chiyu Pidya Ben of the other person. Because neither of them knows for sure that it's Mukhiyu Pidya Ben. They want to collect maybe the brothers, Nishtab the Hanachasim. The father died after the 30th day, so the father was Mshubit to do Pidya Ben, even though he didn't know which child is the Bechor. It doesn't have to know which child. If the father was Meshubed, then the father dies, so it's a Nuval Peh to collect Pidya Ben. Nuval Peh is Gerdim and Ayoshim. So Kozman, they didn't make a Chaluke, it's called Yerusha. After they make a Chaluke, it's still called the Yerusha. Or maybe they say, no. How did it come out that I take these hotels and you take those hotels? That's a Zetah Hazeh. I'm maknet to you my share in the hotels that you take in exchange for you being maknet to me share in the hotels that I take. So maybe I should say that Achm Shechalku is Dinim Kevukuchas. So that's what we'll have to pick up on this. We'll be in there next week. We'll have to continue. Mm-hmm. I hope by next week my computer will be fixed and we'll be able to see each other. Good health. Okay? Everyone should be healthy.
Okay, thank you, Rabbi Shkaya.
Okay.
And thank you, David.
Okay, did nothing.